what had happened, which was the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." So Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for your word, that you have spoken most clearly to us about who you are and what you're about in your Son, Jesus Christ. And in these words from Scripture, you show us who he is and tell the full story of you with us and your love and your redemption. We pray this morning, Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, that you would give me the words to speak and give all of us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you would say this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't have a lot of time this morning, so I'll try and move through pretty quickly. We're in this series talking about God's story, kind of looking at the Scripture from a bigger view. And this morning I want to talk about bread. We heard bread in the children's message. We've got bread on the table. Bread is a prominent thing that we see in Scripture. And it does several things. First of all, bread is something that nourishes us. We all like bread. You ever walk in the subway, that wonderful smell, all those wonderful breads, or into a home of someone who happens to bake bread, and you walk in the door and that smell, and it's like, oh man, that's good stuff. We love bread. As we look through the Scriptures and we read the Scriptures that include bread, I see kind of 3 things that God shows us in all of those. One is that in these stories of bread, it is about God's provision for us. That God provides for the very real physical needs that we all have. As Israel was preparing to leave the bondage of slavery in Egypt and go off into freedom, God encouraged them to make the bread without yeast and carry it with them in the bag so they would have something to eat on that journey that they would need. And when they were out of the bondage and they were off in the wilderness, you know, in the desert, we're looking at millions of people, God provided for their needs again by sending manna or bread from heaven. It appeared on the ground. They were to get it up for the day and have bread each and every day that they needed. We just read a story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. Actually, in Matthew's gospel, he not only feeds those 5,000, he also, a little bit later, feeds another 4,000. There are 2 miracles in the New Testament, in the Gospels, 2 events that involve miracles, I should say, that are recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Only 2. Can you guess what those are? It's like Charlie Brown's teacher. The feeding of the 5,000 is in all 4 Gospels. And then anyone want to guess the other one? The resurrection. That's right. The only 2 that are all 4. So there's something about those 2 things, obviously the resurrection, but something happened in that feeding of the 5,000 that really struck all of Jesus' followers, that it was in all 4 of the Gospels. And even in Jesus, in his teaching, he, in the Lord's Prayer, taught us to pray for our daily bread. A reminder of, through all the Scriptures and in that prayer, that God is the one who provides for our very real physical needs. God is spirit, but God knows how we are formed, and he cares for us, and he wants to provide. As I look at stories of bread in the Scripture, I also see it reminding us of God's presence, of our spiritual needs, of our relational needs, to be with the one that we were created to be with. When he met with Moses, he gave his name, I Am, which means I will be with you as I will be with you. It's all about God's presence with us. And when God gave Moses instructions for the tabernacle and the temple and all these complicated things that were set up, I find it interesting and sometimes strange that right before the entrance to the very Holy of Holies was a table. And on that table were 12 loaves called the bread of presence. There's no explanation in the Old Testament why that's the bread of presence. It's just the bread of presence. God's presence linked with bread. And of course, as we come to this table, we're reminded of another story about bread and God's presence in which Jesus met with the disciples at that last Passover meal. We call that the Last Supper. But as we as Presbyterians come to this table, it is a reminder to us that as we come here, it is God's presence, Jesus himself, who is the Lord and host of the table. In fact, as he met with different people in post-resurrection experiences, he was with some disciples walking on the road to a place called Emmaus, and they were all depressed, and he was saying, "What's going on, guys? And like, where have you been? Haven't you heard what's going on about Jesus being crucified, and we're all real sad?" And so he started teaching them about scriptures, about how the Messiah must come and die and be raised again, and they were probably going, "What? Wow, okay." And they finally came to the town and went in, and it was in there, as Jesus took bread and broke it, scripture says their eyes were opened and they recognized that they were with the Lord. In the breaking of the bread, the presence of God in Jesus Christ was made known. So bread is a symbol, if you will, a reminder of God's provision. It's also about God's presence with us. And I think it's also a reminder to all of us of God's purpose. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Jesus said of himself that he was like bread. In John's gospel, in chapter 6, Jesus is talking about bread. And he said the famous line that we all have heard, one of his I am statements in John, "I am the bread of life." Very kind of mysterious. Of course, John's that way. John likes kind of putting mysterious spins on everything. Isn't it kind of interesting that Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem, which, you know, we don't think much about. We sing about it at Christmas. But in Hebrew, Beth is house, lehem of bread. It's the house of bread. Perhaps, we don't know, it was a place where baking of bread was something they did a lot of. It was famous for it. But God brought Jesus, the bread of life, and he came into the world in a place called the house of bread. And he is the bread of life because he satisfies and meets our deepest needs. The need to be restored into relationship with our Heavenly Father. And he talks about that in John's gospel in chapter 6, that I am the bread of life, and he who eats of me will have life abundant, eternal life. And you have to eat of my body and drink of my blood, he said, which I'm sure as we hear that, we all think of, you know, what is he talking about? Cannibalism or something? That he was talking about something else. That he is the bread of life. And just as bread throughout scripture has symbolized God's provision, he was saying, I am God's provision for your deepest need of a relationship with him. But not just that, but also physical needs. As Jesus went about on his ministry, he met the very real, physical, tangible needs of people. He touched people who were untouchable. And he healed sicknesses. And he reached out to those who were outcast and brought them in. He met their needs. He made food, as we read in the scripture this morning. He turned water into wine. God knows our needs, and Jesus met those needs. But not just the physical needs, they're really the ones that kind of drew the crowds, you know. The crowds followed Jesus in our story because he provided this food. But he also met the spiritual needs. Love and compassion in reaching out to those who were outcasts. Restoration of relationship. He gave affirmation. He gave forgiveness. He was the bread of life, and he was the very presence of God. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I mean, if you understand what's going on in the gospel stories, and maybe we'll get more of this closer to Easter, the reason Jesus was crucified was because he claimed to be God, and that's what upset the Jews so much. He was for us the fullest revelation of who God is, a God of love in him. He was bread. I think we all agree to that, but I would say another aspect of bread as we come this morning is that not just that Jesus was bread, but I think that we are bread in ways. And that is part of what we read in the stories of Scripture. Jesus, the bread of life, was called to be God's presence and provision in the world. And that call is extended to us to be God's presence and to be part of God's provision for the world. I alluded to the bread of presence, you know, in the tabernacle, the 12 loaves. Well, why were there 12 loaves? Well, there were 12 tribes of Israel. It was symbolic of the people of God. The bread was a reminder that the people of God are like bread. And Paul said, you, Christians, followers of Jesus, you are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about us being the body of Christ. We are the physical representation of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are, if you probably have heard, the only Jesus that many people may see. We are together, and as we go out, the body of Jesus Christ. We are his hands and his feet. I think it's interesting that this morning we ordained some deacons. You know, there are the three ordained ministries of Word and Sacrament and the elders and the deacons. And, you know, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, I think the deacon ministry is probably one of those that's closest to what he does, because they become, in many ways, the hands and feet of Christ, enabling all of us to go out and meet the very real, tangible, physical needs of people. And so we carry on his ministry, and he calls us to follow in his footsteps and to do the things that he did. But we aren't the bread of life. We are called to be bread to the world, but we are not the bread of life. But the bread of life is in us, and we present him to the world. The question is, how do we do that? In our feeding story, Jesus had loaves. 5 loaves, thousands of people. 5 loaves isn't going to feed thousands of people unless something happens. What happens in the story? Well, first of all, the bread is given to Jesus. So something has to be given to God. And it's taken by Christ and blessed. But then Jesus begins to break the bread. He starts breaking, and he's breaking and breaking. It's not until the bread is broken that it is able to nourish. I mean, these loaves are pretty, they're wonderful, they're nice and round, but broken bread is the only way that we can get fed. Bread that is not broken will not nourish. It sits and it looks good, but somehow it's got to get into us in little things that we can eat and consume. Broken bread is the only way that we can be fed. In the miracle of the story, I think, is in the breaking of the bread. When I was in seminary, you know, there are some professors, they present different perceptions and ways of interpreting that. And, you know, one of them that was thrown out, because I went to kind of a middle-of-the-road seminary, was, well, yeah, it may have been the breaking, but it could have been, wink, wink, nod, nod, it could have been that people had bread hoarded in their cloaks and in their bags, and they were so embarrassed by the fact that they were hoarding that when they saw Jesus trying to share this, that they brought theirs out and they shared it with those around them. So the miracle was not in the breaking of the bread. The miracle was in the sharing of the people did. Which, you know, that might have happened, but I kind of find it difficult to believe that thousands and thousands of people had thousands and thousands of loaves of bread hidden in their cloaks and bags. So that's just kind of not my... And the miracle was not in the consumption. It wasn't like everybody got a teeny tiny crumb, but that little tiny crumb suddenly filled them up and they were all full and it nourished them completely. It wasn't a miracle of consumption. It was in the miracle of the breaking. As he broke the bread, something happened such that when they were done, there were 12 basketfuls left over. Bread has to be broken to do any good. I mean, if we don't break the bread, it eventually... What happens to bread when you don't just let it sit there? It gets stale, hard, crusty, moldy, unfit for anything. Bread has to be broken. The bread of life, who is Jesus, said, I, the bread of life, I have to be broken. The Son of God must be crucified on the cross and give his life, and then the third day rise again. Because even the bread of life, without the bread being broken, it does not nourish. And yes, Jesus was broken and his body was broken on the cross. We know that. But there's more than that. Jesus, as the bread of life being broken, began before the cross. The cross was just the accumulation of that breaking, but it began all through his ministry as Jesus gave himself away. If the breaking of the bread is the giving of life, then all through his ministry, Jesus, as he met with people and as he reached out to them and as he taught and as he touched and healed, was giving himself away. He was pouring out his life into his disciples, into his followers, and into the crowds. And I think that is what we see in the breaking. That is the breaking of the bread, of taking of who we are in our lives and breaking that and giving it away. He gave himself to others in service. You know, in John's gospel, the story of the table doesn't have, you know, the focus isn't the bread and the juice. I mean, it's there. But John tells this story not with bread being broken, but with Jesus getting up from the table and wrapping a towel around himself and washing the feet of his disciples. That's John's version of the breaking of the bread, where Jesus, the bread of life, gave himself in humbling service to his disciples. He washed their feet. And he said, if you're going to come after me, you need to follow my example and be the servant of all. To give away our lives in loving acts of service and kindness. It means being broken. And to me, one of the clearest pictures is not just the table and the washing of the feet, but Jesus kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane and saying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It is the giving of ourselves and the submitting to God's will to meet the needs of others, the physical needs, the spiritual needs. So the question for us in these last few minutes is, as we come to this sacramental table of bread, will we, as the bread and body of Christ, will we become the sacrament of God in the world? Because we come as the church, the body of Christ, we come to this table. This table is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. This is for the church. It is for us who believe and put our trust in him. So we come and we remember, as the bread is broken, that he was broken for us and that we are called to be broken for the world. And we are nourished, not just physically, but spiritually, to go forth and to do that. But what about the world that hurts? I believe that this table calls us to go out into the world to become the sacrament of broken bread. Because if we believe that when the bread is broken, that Christ is really present in a very real and powerful way, then as we go out into the world as the bread and allow God to break us in giving ourselves in acts of love and serving others, Christ becomes present in a very real way, and eyes are opened, lives are touched and nourished, and people come to God. Is the prayer that Jesus prayed, you know, not my will, but yours be done. A couple of scriptures for us to think about as we come this morning. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said, if any woman would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me to become broken bread. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, as your reasonable act of worship. I mean, in the epistles, we see Paul, and he talks about the same thing of the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the wine and the giving of ourselves. And he said, even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, he saw himself as one who was bread that was broken, as wine that was poured out, as the giving of himself out of gratitude for what Christ has done in his life, in love for others. And that's what it meant for him to follow Jesus. And I can't speak for everyone, but I know that that's been a very difficult thing for me to think of, giving myself away, of losing my life and pouring it out to others. Because sometimes it feels like you're casting the pearls before swine. But that's the paradox of the gospel. That's the miracle of this table. That if you give your life to Christ and to others in service, if you give your life away, then you have life. If we become broken bread, then there is more. if we try to keep our life and not become broken, then we lose what we have. It's the paradox of the cross. In death, there is life. Instead of being less bread, it's broken. All of a sudden, there's more and more and more. Broken bread in the hands of Christ. I want to close with this little poem that someone wrote about broken bread. Make me broken bread, make me poured out wine, for I am yours, Lord, my life is in the vine. So as you crush the fruit born of my flesh, remove all bitterness, make me sweet and fresh, to be poured out upon a hurting world so lost. Make me broken bread, no matter what the cost. As I cry out to you, your will, not mine, make me broken bread, make me poured out wine. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are indeed the bread of life. And we thank you that you came among us, not to lord it over us, but to give yourself away on a daily basis and ultimately on the cross. And you washed the disciples' feet. And then in the last thing you did with them, you took bread and you broke it. This is my body broken for you. Go and do likewise. We acknowledge that we are bread and we place ourselves anew this morning in your hands and say, Lord, take us and use us in the world. Let us be broken bread as we give ourselves to you and pour out our lives in love to others. Work through us as you did through those loaves many, many years ago, and do your miracle. Multiply where there is brokenness. And where life is given, let life be renewed and restored. We ask these things in your most holy name. Amen.